Blog Talk Radio.
Family and all of the listening audience heard around the world, we welcome you to the Thursday night Us Lifting Us Dare to Win call. And this is a call where we are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. And we're here every Thursday at 10 p.m. East 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And every week we have a variety of subjects that delve into the aspects of life that we need to know about. And the intent is that just like tonight, that we would share some information that would make a difference in your life and help you to elevate your life, which is essential in our movement to become free and maintain freedom, that we've got clarity about life and not be limited or bound in how high we can go in that knowledge, just like our ancestors that accomplished great things. And we're going to continue this conversation just as soon as we finish this music break. Once again, we welcome you to the Dare to Win Thursday night call, and we give thanks and love to all of the family that's on the telephone line as well as listening by internet radio. And this Thursday night broadcast is available. And if you by telephone as well as by internet radio, and the anyone listening by internet radio, you can reach us and with questions and comments by telephone at 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad with your questions or comment. And also, those that cannot reach us by telephone, and you can pass it on to your network, where it's also available live streaming at www.usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. And at the home page, you would click on Ulu Radio. And when it changes to the next page, you look for the bar that says Listen Live, and you press Listen Live so that you can tune into the broadcast by internet radio. And tonight we've got a very interesting and vital subject like we so often do, and the title is A Moral Sustainability Diet. And there's much to be defined, evaluated, and discussed when it comes to the words moral sustainability and diet. And I am Brother Thurman. I'm a Us Lifting Us member. And also joining us as a guest tonight is one of our very knowledgeable sisters, Sister Lista Kareem and Karim. And I want to first stop and pause and thank you, Sister Linda, for joining the conversation, and you can greet the family.
Thank you very much, Brother Thurman. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to share with you the thoughts and ideas about moral sustainability tonight.
All right, good. Thank you so much. And so, family, we're going to get into this conversation, and we invite you to take notes, to participate, because this is a very, very huge subject, the subject of moral, the subject of sustainability and diet and putting it all together. And it's way, 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 way beyond an hour. But we're going to begin it, and like some other subjects, topics that we've had, there's always opportunity to come back and do part one and part two and part three to build on it so that we can increase the clarity. And before getting started with the topic of moral sustainability diet, I just want to give pause and give appreciation to the Kwanzaa principle of Nia, which is purpose. And purpose is to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. And with that mere and purpose in mind and what I just read, it's essential that, and the topic tonight fits right in with that subject of us being restored to our traditional greatness. And moving forward, they want to give some brief definitions and then just go right into the conversation. And Sister Linda, once I read these definitions at any time, you can come right on in, because I know you have a lot to share. And moral, to give a brief definition, a standard of behavior concerning what is and is not acceptable. Without moral standards, real civilized life would not be possible. Do we have a real civilized life currently? or do we have an uncomfortable and uncivilized life that's well-dressed as if it's truly civilized? And on sustainability, the ability to maintain at a certain level while avoiding depletion of resources. And just to give you an example, in Australia, the Aborigines, when they make their walkabouts daily, and they've been doing it for many, many generations, they, and it's a lot to, you know, their walkabouts and their spirituality, but when they come across, for example, a growth of berries, they are very mindful to go in and harvest the berries, not harm the plant, but they also make an effort not to just devour all of the berries because they want to keep the ecosystem functioning so that whether it's a year later or whenever they come back through that region, that there will be, that the berries will be replenished and they would be able to nourish and keep themselves living well. And there's, and also sustainability is meeting our needs, not wants, meeting our needs, not wants, and not compromising the resources the future generations must have to live healthy and in harmony. And diet, a specific intake, habitual nourishment, and there's the mental diet, which involves thought control, affirmations, meditation. And on that note of meditation, children, schools are waking up to the needs of children. And whereas at one time the schools would take children that had issues and they would put them in a corner and say, time out. And they have found that it's very beneficial to take the children and be there with them and quiet and get in a comfortable position and meditate. And the children are responding very well, the same as adults respond very well to quiet time to still the mind and the body in meditation. And also diet. For the mind, the mental diet is refusing to entertain negative thoughts. And our ancient African ancestors advocated or left the word with us to focus on the greater good. And so whatever the subject is, whatever the challenge is, whatever the issue is, ask ourselves, is this in the greater good? And so is cussing that sucker out in the greater good, or is it to speak some love language to someone that may be stressed or confused? And they also talked about mastering calmness. And they said that when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys to life. And I came across, there's a book out there and some people doing some teachings on a seven-day change, the seven-day change, which is changing your life in a week. And it's still about the mind and that mental diet, and that's a very serious matter. And with that, I want to go ahead and just open up the conversation and think about sustainability. It's a very, very serious subject. In my childhood and growing up and spending time in Southampton County, Virginia, you know, which is the Nat Turner territory, I really value living on a large piece of land in a long ways from a road and without electricity and without running water and without a landfill and garbage disposal and all of that stuff. And it was very, very sustainable, and so much so that if tonight there was 3 or 4 feet of snow, when we awakened in the morning, there would be no worration about food, whether it was a week or two later before the snow stopped or whatever, because we were living in a sustainable fashion, you know, which lots of our people, especially in rural areas, did, and they had food. And of course, we had our own water, which was a well, and there was no frozen pipes, and had a fuel to stay warm off of the land, and that was very, very sustainable. And then the land provided for our physical diet, and also to be in that quiet setting also helped to feed our mental diet. And then morals is in the conversation, and there's much to be said about morals, and I could go into morals as it not skipping away from sustainability or diet, but morals, just to give you an example, we've got to be able mentally, spiritually, to analyze what is a way of living that would allow us to be able to be sustainable, or either is it a way of living that is just a continuous destruction of the planet and the people and all of the ecosystem. And there's so many things that people, when they're not paying attention to this sustainability and also applying morals to it, they just think that a lot of what's going on around us and in our environment is just the way it is, and it's just normal life, and it is not. And just to give you an example, all of these cars all over the planet, and especially there was a time that cars were running up and down the road that in general in the daytime they didn't never have their lights on. But cars and their lights is contributing to heating up the earth and affecting the ecosystem in detrimental ways. And also these cars with their bright headlights, including LED lights, is detrimentally affecting the eyesight of people. And most people are not aware of that. They've never even thought about it, and they've never looked it up. But just for example, there's something that's called light scatter. And that is bright lights get scattered around the inside of the eye, making images blurred or blank. It overwhelms the retina, causing temporary blindness. That's what LED lights do. And we need to ask ourselves, are you morally okay with what I just said? Or do you think this is some insanity and part of the destruction? And we've got to have clarity about things such as that. And I could go on into other things that's going on that we need to have some moral clarity so that we can go forward and be sustainable and with the diet of the spirit, mind, body, that it would be in harmony with the earth, the universe, and with the ecosystems. Sister Linda, you can come right on in anytime you're ready. You got some comments on?
I'm just fascinated by your intro to these concepts based on moral sustainability diet, because it requires one to listen and to tune in to what you're actually saying. And I'm extracting a sense of truth because your words are coming straight from nature. Nature is speaking through you. And that's what happens when morals set in, because it's a natural expression of caring and compassion and respect for creation. And many times the etymology of the origin or the meaning of this word, moral, it only reached the English language in the 15th century. So it didn't exist before then because the Germanic language had not developed yet. From the Battle of Tours on the Pyrenees in the 13th century. That's when the Moors went into France. They got this word from these people called Moors, who had a sense of ethics, law, righteous behavior, and it wasn't a noun. It was an adjective to describe the behavior of the people who had this sense of dignity, inner dignity, and respect for creation. So when one says moral, they're concerned about self-control, the proper behavior, respecting the rights of others, having the duty and the legal representation of being God's ambassador on earth, on this planet. And morals is something personal, of course. It deals with your heart, your frame of mind, and your spirit. But in the German tradition, in the German codex, these words are framed. It has a meaning called moda or mood. Now, that's what the Germans did with the word morals. They moved from right conduct, duties and responsibilities, to your mode and your mode of thinking, your mood, and your feelings. Because a lot of times people's morals are on a scale of 10, but normally the morals have degenerated. And I mean degenerated to the point that they don't respect the rights of anything. It's based on their mood and how they're feeling time. So I just wanted to add that to your definition for morals, the historical entry of this word, because words make people. If your words are full of love and joy, it is a vibratory frequency that can be felt by another. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can tell if something has truth in it or not so truthful. But there are ethics involved here. And ethics point to a good character or value system. But we have moved from moral being a noun, moral being an adjective, and moral being a verb, an action word, that you live with these traditions. Because for 600 billion years, let's say 13 billion years, we've developed a code of ethics for ourselves. That's how we're able to live on this planet for 13 billion years. Because we followed the principles, we followed the law of the universe. And that's very, very important. Our sustainability has come about as a result following the laws of nature, of respecting creation, of respecting the waterways, the land, the natural resources, the herbs and the spices and the trees that produce oxygen for us to breathe, but it's based on us respecting those laws, and that is what sustains us. Sustainability means being able to make the right selection that's lasting, creates stability in the central nervous system, in your general health and well-being, in the preservation of your family, in the preservation of your community, and all of our relatives all over the planet, because we are just one people. We're not separate people. We're just one family living on this planet. And this sustainability has been based on tried and true methods of success, of ways of living. I just wanted to add this word called diet. It's a Greek word. It comes from the source of dieta. It means a way of living. Some definitions point to your daily food provisions. And in other definitions, it talks about regular daily work. So there's connection with a way of living to attain your food, which is related to your sustainability. But we know that oxygen comes first, water is second, third is working for your food, fourth is eating. You know, so we have to follow the rules in order to eat, just like a squirrel does. A squirrel does not squander during the summer or during the spring all of the fruit that it eats. It saves some. It has a storehouse. It has a warehouse where food is kept for another day. But this is very, very important, because diet just does not mean a Greek word or a word that's used in Italy. Dieteta is a walk in the park. It's not a discipline. It's not rigid. A walk in the park with your friends. It's growing flowers. It's making bread. It's washing clothes. It's going to visit friends. It's going to take some soup to the sick people. It is nursing a baby. That's a diet. That's a real diet. Going to buy food at the marketplace, fresh food, or taking care of your garden, whether it's, well, in those times, well, even now they have dietetas. In dietetas in Italy and in Greece, they have gardens that's hundreds of years old, farms that have been in place for all that time. But do you have another meaning for diet, Brother Thurman?
Well, I've got not right now. Before we go any further on there, that we've got a caller on the line. I want to make sure that Paul's in. I'll let the caller come on the line with their questions or comments. And
right.
Caller, with the last four numbers, 3440, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your question or comment.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brother Thurman and sister. Very interesting conversation. My name is Shabaka, and I'm calling from South Florida. Sister, I wanted to, in terms of what we see now operating in our communities, in our environment in the U.S. or global, but particularly the U.S. because that's where we are principally from, we basically can see a lot of observations. We have a lot of observations of where we are. With a number of our people not understanding that food comes from more than just McDonald's or Burger King, and many not understanding the difference between what I want and what I need, what is your assessment of where we are right now and where we need to go in order to bring back, I guess, the harmony and respect of nature? And I'll listen and for your response. Thank you.
Thank you for that question, because it's very on point. I'm a naturopathic doctor, so I'm going to look at that from a point of alkalinity basis acidity. And alkalinity is the maximum ability for the body and mind and the spirit to work together in harmony and become very, very productive about the genetics and the intelligence to move forward and be creative and sustainable and strong and rooted and powerful. And we have, and this is the truth, unqualified women in the laboratory called the kitchen. And they're contributing more. I'm not blaming society. I want not to blame anyone. But I'm looking at the traditional roles that women play in the family. So the kitchen is not a recreational place. It is a place of where life and death hangs on her decisions to make or break the family genetically, nutritionally, and reduces the intellectual strength and power of her family. And it's done unconsciously. And what we have to do is to form a national organization to bring the information to the doorstep of every so-called sister in our community, because they really do not know. They have been reduced to a branded commodity. Like, for an example, in the city of Richmond, there are 40,000 women in a pocket of this city that makes less than $5,000 a year. However, they have 100,000 children that's dependent on them. And there's 25,000 grandparents that's taken care of their grandchildren. And they all are deficient in one thing, knowledge, because they get EBT and they get $600 vouchers. So there's there's a budget for their food, but their headlights are out. Their neocortex isn't functioning. They don't have good brain functioning. They don't have good decision-making powers. When they go to the grocery store, they go to packaged manufactured goods instead of going to the produce, grains, nuts, and the traditional things that make up a diet. And that means not D-I-E, about to die and leave this world, but a way of living. And the ignorance is so deep that we have reached a crisis state in terms of the study that was out on the vitamin D deficiency in a highly melanated women. And that can be eliminated, excuse me, by one food. So milk has 120 milligrams of calcium, but there's a nut source that offers 960 milligrams of vitamin D, and it fills a deficiency in 24 hours. So it's how are we going to deliver the message, the SDS, the service delivery system, to the doorstep of these women? They're creating illness. They're creating from their kitchen. They are creating high blood pressure, diabetes, fibromyalgia, arthritis, rheumatism, parasitic infestation. They're creating that in their kitchen. I mean, really, it's just poor choices. Just poor choices. And they're grossly miseducated. Because there used to be a saying, you want to keep a woman barefoot in the kitchen. Well, that's the best way to be. Barefoot, grounded on the earth, in the kitchen. Making that bean soon rice. So the neocortex, so the brain can function. So you have good nerve function. Because people can't move forward if they're sick. And they have white coat syndrome. That means that their only authority that they respect is someone with a white coat, whether they are melanated or not. That does not answer the question of malnutrition. I did a workshop in India, and they have the largest diabetes numbers in the world. But even the PhDs that was in the audience didn't want to give up that white rice. They love it. It's a part of their tradition. And then there are certain foods in our community that is attributed to being soul food, the food for the indigenous melanated person. Is not fit for eating, is not fit for human consumption. It creates food poisoning. But in the name of a 9-casserole macaroni and cheese dish, there's not a good tradition in that because you will not live long eating macaroni and cheese. White bread, butter, milk, ice cream, pies, cakes. This is not affluence. This is a poor description for living because it's not going to increase the life force in you so that we can make better decisions. It depletes just a piece of chicken paralyzes the digestion system for 9-10 hours. They think that's good eating. It is not. So we cannot give up on our people until we establish the good rules for healthy eating on a national level, because we make $22 trillion a year. Surely we can eke out a budget to put guidelines for a successful lifestyle. I'd like to hear your commentary.
I'm in agreement with you, and Brother Shabaka, thank you so much for your question. And we've got to take it to the people, the reality, just the same as Sister Linda talked about, you know, being out of the country. And in spite of them having PhDs, that's on the wrong path in terms of the diet, we've got to do our part. And so the wisdom says that we must learn, and then when we learn, we must teach. And it must be a constant process. And Sister Linda said it earlier about we need to establish place to be able to bring forth this higher and moral and sustainable knowledge and of diet of the spirit, mind, and body. And it's all solvable. We've just got to break the bad habits, the things that are not sustainable. And you talked about the women that have a lot of babies, and then grandparents are taking care of a large portion of those babies. And we've got to stop. So the subject, the topic tonight, a moral sustainability diet, that's a subject that's not known to the masses of the people. It's not by mistake, because they've been miseducated. And we've got the obligation to do our part. That's why we come together to have these conversations. And every time we have these conversations like this, we should leave and retire, rest for the night with some more notes and more motivation to not bow down to the moral destruction
darkness. It's absolute darkness. Brother Thurman,
yes, so
I just want to add this very important piece right here.
Yes.
Because, you know, when we're looking at the Holy Roman Empire, they have different diets. You know that? They have the imperial diet. They have the diet of Augsburg, the diet of Nuremberg, the diet of Regensburg, the diet of Speyer. Even Japan has a national diet of Japan. And you know what diet means in legal terms?
What does it mean?
It means an assembly or a meeting. It's a legislative obligation that people have for their community. A diet is not something to eat. It's an assembly. It's a legislative body where they plan the future of their community 1,000 years in advance. Power and the authority to make rules and process them and carry them out and make sure that that the people who walk in darkness are reached. And no matter how many times they say this soul food got us through slavery, well, we were never slaves. We were never from Central Europe. Wait a minute. So a legislative body means a place where laws take place. a place for making laws is like a parliamentary structure, a diet issues, and develop a plan to carry them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a diet is.
Good word. Family members, did you hear what she just said? The diet is a place where we would talk and do like the people that are successfully doing things to have a moral sustainable diet in place for their people for 1,000 years and elevate our thinking. We are the ones that the builders that came out of our minds, the world's first universities, and to create that in our mind and to be able to actually build it physically, and also to write the higher knowledge, including what Sister Linda just shared about that legal terminology of diet, D-I-E-T. And there's no way we can escape that we have a moral obligation to assure that there's sustainability for us and for future generations, all centered around need and not want, and to embrace the whole concept of the diet, including the legal definition of that, and put that in place. And Sister Linda, I have been on the radio two or three times talking about having a what's called the ULU, Us Lifting Us, cultural center, and emphasizing that one of our, I believe, ancestor sisters said it a long, long time ago. He said, wherever, in so many words, that wherever we are on the planet, we need to have cultural centers where we can come and discuss and break down and leave with a higher perspective of life and embrace that as a lifestyle, so that we would truly be able to live and have a moral sustainability diet in real fashion, not some well-dressed fakery and soul food fakery. And family members that are listening and taking notes, we definitely, still have time that you can participate by pressing the number one on your keypad with your questions or comments. We appreciate you being there by telephone as well as by internet radio. And this is these are vital conversations, and we've got to stop the misinformation and the low-level thinking and elevate to unlimited knowledge. And when we do that, we would be our lives would be enhanced on a much greater level. Today I had to visit a 97-year-old elder in a nursing home. And like it have been most all of my life, it was just a horror story to be there and to watch what was going on. And it's because, it ties into this subject, that the morals are out of place, the sustainability is out of place, the diet is out of place, and that leads them to be where they are, because when we get in order with the morals and the sustainability and the diet legally and nutritionally and otherwise, we wouldn't have those kind of facilities like I went in today, and we wouldn't have we awaken to the way of moral sustainability diet. What would happen is that the kidney dialysis centers would begin to quickly go out of business, because those of us that know, and you can tell me your thoughts, Sister Linda, but there was a time that we didn't have a need for a kidney dialysis center.
An associate who has 30 dialysis centers in Georgia.
Wow. Wow.
And primarily, you can clean your own bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. You don't have to have this done artificially. You can eat the right foods and drink the 91 ounces of water a day, because you can't flush the toilet without any water in the tank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in order to flush toxins out of the body, you're going to have to use a transportation system. Water is the most easy, most efficient way to remove toxins out of the body. And the other thing is the lemon juice and water, and no bacteria, no fungus, no mold, no viruses can live, no parasites, no microbes can live in lemon juice. So get yourself a lemon and take a slice. Just drop it in 6 ounces, 8 ounces of water, and don't gulp it, sip it. Sip it, and it will transform your bloodstream from acidosis, that means this burning, aching sensation all over the body from dehydration, then you go into hydration, and then you go into the smooth elixir of the lemon juice and the water, and a calmness will come over you. It will change the chemistry of your bloodstream in a minute. Some things are really, it's not rocket science. It's just knowing what to do. But if your central nervous system has been paralyzed, or that learning part of the brain called the hippocampus, that learning part of the brain is fossilized, then you can't make good choices. You're kind of frozen. But you can unfreeze yourself, because there's nobody in your body but you. There's no spirit, no bad spirit, no devil, no shaitan, no Beelzebub, or any of the other things that they call demons. There's nobody in there but you. You can go and get a drink of water and save your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So the hypnosis, the mass hypnosis, takes place by spending hours watching fiction. It's not even real. There, you're learning how to be mentally disturbed by watching these actors. What?
In the beginning, we're learning how to be mentally disturbed. Family, did you hear that? Well, the evidence is there, right?
I mean, it's obvious. I can't imagine somebody trying to make a living selling distorted thought forms. And I have no patience for that, because there is nothing in nature that's like that.
So that's another failure on the moral part, right?
There's nobody to blame. You can't blame anybody. You have to have there's a chemistry for wellness, and it's related to your B vitamins. Your B vitamins are water soluble vitamins that must be replaced on a daily basis. And without thiamin, the learning the B1 vitamin, and without B2, you can't make good choices. So it's a very subtle chemistry. It's that our body is a truth machine. It will tell you when you've eaten something or you're looking at something that's inappropriate. It'll say, I don't like that. Walk away. I mean, even if you had the template of Yeshua or, of Esau, Jesus the Christ, he was around people who were not morally disciplined, but it didn't disturb his character. See, the people that would be able to promote the truth and the addition for our society to return back to its right mind and get on track would have to be people with enough health and strength and internal strength and power to do that, to call them. They would have to have some degree of self-mastery.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, you can have a drunk. Right, you can have a drunk that will run in the street and say there's a fire in the house. You should listen to him. But I'm talking about a sustainable message, just like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola knows that it's just selling sugar water. Therefore, they're going to have to advertise very quickly and consistently. And we can't allow people who sell empty things to outdo people who have good common sense of their ancestors.
Repeat that, say that again.
Coca-Cola sells sugar water. It's no nutritional value at all. But they know one thing, that they have to advertise in order to get people to buy. And we cannot allow companies like Coca-Cola to outdo us because we have something of substance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Well, Sister Linda and all of the family by telephone and by internet radio, the time is winding down and as I said in the beginning, subjects like this, which is very vast in discussing it, we need to delve further into this, and the opportunity is always there for us to come back and gather in the cultural center, and we should leave this call tonight and go into some quiet moments. And as the wisdom says that before you close your eyes to go to sleep, that you do a review of your day and smile and give thanks for all of the good things and anything you learn and the good people and the love and harmony and all of those things. And if a butterfly came and sit on your shoulder, you know, reflect on all of those good things before you retire to your quiet moments. And Sister Linda, we're going to have to continue the conversations with you because family members, Sister Linda has a lot to share. And we're going to continue every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to bring forth vital topics. And Us Lifting Us is advancing the model of cooperative economics, which is an ancient economic system, and we must break free of the cruelty, the brutality of the capitalistic system. And cooperative economics is the origin of our ancient model, and we must embrace it. And we ask you, if you have not, if you're listening by telephone or by internet radio, if you have not visited Us Lifting Us web page, usliftingus.com, that you please do it and recognize that we've got to operate cooperatively in everything that we do, including sharing this knowledge. And we look forward to coming back and being with you once again next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And once again, Sister Linda, we thank you so much for bringing such good information to us and helping to us as we move on out of the studio and have our quiet moments that we can reflect on what we took as notes and be thankful for this good information that you brought forward and other family members and the questions that were asked. And we'll be back here again next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.